podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 216 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 24th of November 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. In today's news, ZBox, cyber sale fail, wearing Rebel computer glasses, and walking 5,000 miles with Google Maps. I think connection dropped, did it?
No, it didn't drop, no. I think Jody might have dropped it. She'll come back in.
Today's hosts, Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jason, and guest is Anthony Rose from ZBox. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, Jason, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
Welcome on this great Saturday in Melbourne, as we're in Sydney.
Hot.
Hot here too, mate.
I went for a 9 kilometre ride this morning on my push bike.
Nice.
Get a bit of exercise there.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
And been playing around with, I really like Spotify now. I decided to keep subscribing with that. I tried out Mog, but Spotify looks like the way to go for me. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Spotify is rocks. I love Spotify.
Synchronizing all my music right now.
Oh, cool, man. Cool. ZBox launched in Australia. Was it hanging out a week ago? I think it was. About a week, I think. And we have Anthony on Tech Webcast today, Jason.
Yeah.
And
we'll have a chat to him later.
Yep. Welcome, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm going pretty well, mate. Welcome. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I appreciate your time. We'll get in some news and then we'll come back to you in about 1 minute or so. All right, Jason, let's hear some news.
Our news from Sydney Morning Herald as usual. Yep. It was supposed to be the sale that stopped the nation and millions of us bought into the hype, but in the end, the deals were as flimsy as the web infrastructure on which they were delivered. If Australia's bricks and mortar retail giants think a marketing campaign and 24 hours of questionable deals is going to save them, they're in for a rude shock. After frustrated clicks, frenzy bargain hunters spent Tuesday night clicking the refresh button on their browser rather than scouring hot deals, they woke on Wednesday morning to find that the promised bargains were slim at best. In some cases, the deals offered were more than 50% higher than the price available from international retailers such as Amazon and ASOS. In other instances, the prices were no different to the regular prices offered by Australian retailers, save for a few headline deals. The next computing battleground could be on your head, with an Australian company taking on giants like Microsoft and Google with wearable computers in the form of glasses that appear to be straight out of a sci-fi flick. After conditioning us to walk around absorbed in our mobile screens, the technologists now want to place digital information directly in front of our eyes before we necessarily know we need it. The natural evolution is to take those tablets and the phones out of your hands and put them up there in your field of vision, said Paul Kopis, Chief Technology Officer of Sydney-based Explore Engage. And it's the tale of former Marine Sergeant Winston Fior, 27, who's just completed a 408-day, 5,000-mile walk through 9 countries in Southeast Asia to raise funds for the International Children's Surgical Foundation, an organization that provides free plastic surgeries to children in developing countries, most of whom suffer from a cleft palate. It's also the story of how blind reliance on maps on your mobile device, in this case walking directions in Google Maps, can lead a traveller to find people and places he never would have found otherwise, simply by directing him to the shortest distance between point A and point B. Fior completed his journey on Tuesday and has raised $65,000 of his $75,000 goal to give to the International Children's Surgical Foundation. That's enough money to fund more than 200 operations. And that's the news for today.
Good news, Jason, as always, mate. Great news. Before I forget, hello, Steve. Welcome to the show, mate. Didn't you say hello to you?
Oh, okay. You forgot me, I guess. Yeah. I noticed you said that in the chat room.
Yeah. How are you, mate? Did you have a good week? What's been happening with you? Did you have a good Thanksgiving and stuff?
Yeah, it was good. It seems though a lot of the family wasn't there, but that's okay. We went to IHOP, believe it or not. We didn't really make turkey or anything this year.
All right.
As long as you had fun, that's the main thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're trying to get Jody back on Skype. I'm not sure what's happened to her. I'm calling her, but she's not picking up, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Her internet might be down, I'm guessing, if
it
she can.
It might be, so we'll keep going on the show. So, Jason, we've got Anthony Rose on from ZBox on. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, welcome. Hey. Tell us a bit about ZBox and what it does and what you do.
Yeah, what you do.
So ZBox, I'm co-founder and CTO at ZBox. ZBox is a great new way to watch TV. So you sit in front of your TV. You know, everyone's already sitting in front of their TV with an iPhone or iPad or Android phone and so on. And we're all multitasking these days. And sometimes we're checking email in front of TV, and sometimes we're tweeting and Facebooking. You know, but it's kind of hard work to figure out the stuff that's relevant to the show you're watching. And so we figured, wouldn't it be great if there was an app that worked out what was on TV and could bring you contextual things while you're watching. And so we set up, as we invest all of live TV in the US, or 150 channels, our servers, I guess in the same way Google spiders the internet, we spider television. And we extract the closed captions or subtitles. We use video fingerprinting to work out when there are ads on TV. We pull in a program guide. We pull in tweets. And so we bring you an app that lets you find things to watch on TV. It brings you information. If there's a recipe they're talking about, or someone says the word dinosaur, then it'll bring information on that. It brings you movies that you can link to. It brings you people that tweeting about the show. But it's not just a regular Twitter client. It will bring you multiple Twitter sources at once. It can filter out the swear word ones if you want family mode on. And there's a group chat if you want to have private conversations with friends. And there's a commenting system. And I guess one of the problems with Twitter is you've got your professional, you know, life, and then you've got you want to say bad things about the contestant on X Factor, and they don't really blend together easily. But with ZBox, you know, what's said in ZBox stays in ZBox. So you can maintain your professional Twitter persona and still slag off the contestants if you want separately. So, yeah.
I see you've got a graph for audience trend as well. That's interesting.
That's right. So it's a great analytics because, you know, today Barb and Nielsen and so on measure audiences by a small panel and then overnight say, you know, 10,000 people watch a TV program. But what ZBox does is every 60 seconds it knows, you know, everyone who's on a given show. And so we feed that back into the ecosystem so you can see which shows are trending, which have got the most Twitter buzz, which have got the most audience. And, you know, the idea is as you have more and more things to watch on TV, more and more channels, in the US, you know, hundreds of channels, how on earth do you choose what to watch? And it's like going into a Chinese restaurant where there's a menu with, you know, 100 items. It's nuts. And what you want is you just want the chef's special going, dude, here are a few things for you. And so we have a What's Hot page where we work out second by second what are the programs that most people are watching, what are the ones with the most Twitter activity, what are the ones that, you know, you've booked to watch or your friends are watching right now. So it remixes the program guide to give you a new way of finding what to watch. And I think in that respect, it's very different to most other second screen apps, which focus on the social around a program. But here we don't just do that. We bring you information around the program, but we also help you figure out what to watch. Because the days of, you know, sitting with one of those plastic remotes, mindlessly clicking channel up, channel up, channel, until you've gone through all of them and you start again. I mean, it's just a nuts way of finding what to watch. What you want is the nice touch screen interface to go, hey, Anthony, here are some things for you. And then in the UK, we act as a remote control for Sky boxes, Virgin TiVo boxes, Samsung and Sony TVs and so on. And shortly in the US, ZBox will be able to act as a remote control for 22 million Comcast set-top boxes.
Nice.
And with others to come. So in the future, your, you know, smartphone becomes your newfangled TV remote. But it could do things like I can see, hey, Jody's watching Homeland, and I can just click on Homeland or Jody, watch with Jody, and now my TV jumps to show me, you know, Homeland. So that nice. Will be the way that we consume content in the future.
Will that show the actual person on the TV screen too, Anthony?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question, because a lot of TV, smart TV manufacturers got this idea that they should integrate Facebook into their TV and so on. And so far, that's turned out to be a really bad thing to do, because there you are watching with your family, and the last thing that, you know, the kid wants is for parents to see her friends commenting on the family TV. So I think it makes sense that TV remains a shared viewing, but each person sits with their own device, with their own social network, to the extent that, you know, they want to do that, connected, which could lead to a bizarre new, you know, family in the future where you sit together, but actually you're in your own personal worlds. But, you know, maybe it's better than not sitting together at all. But ZBox makes no view on that. ZBox just makes it better, right?
Exactly. Jodie, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Any questions for Anthony?
Anthony, yeah, you had helped me to connect my Facebook and also my Twitter to ZBox, and I'm curious whether you have plans also to integrate with other social networks, like perhaps Google Plus.
Yeah, so that's a great question, and we get asked that. The, you know, as a dot-com startup, there are only so many hours in the day, and so you have to pick where to focus your time. And, for example, at the moment, we've got an Android smartphone version, but not yet an Android tablet version. And our number one incoming request these days is, why can't I get ZBox on my Android tablet? works on 7-inch tablets, but, you know, the smartphone form factor isn't really great on a 10-inch tablet. And so, hey, great, that's now our number one priority to sort. There are relatively few people asking us for, you know, can I get a Google Plus? And I don't think there are that many people with Google Plus who don't also have Facebook. I'll probably get myself in big trouble for saying that. But essentially, I guess what we do is, instead of trying to make strategic bets, we simply look at what our users, customers are telling us, and try and feed that back as rapidly as possible into the next version. So the answer is absolutely yes. Google Plus and others will be there, and it could be LinkedIn, which may or may not be appropriate for TV viewing, but is obviously a hugely popular network on its own. But yeah, we'll add Google Plus. We may add email login. What we try and do is we try and actually bring some users into the office every couple of days, ask them for their views, watch them use the app, see what works and what doesn't, and then feedback and that back into the next version, as well as we use user voice for customer feedback. And I personally get those sent to me on an hourly basis, and then try and work out what are the best next things to put in the product based on that.
Interesting. And how are you monetizing it?
So, like all dot-com startups, you know, I guess it's two-part approach. Part one is to build audience, get a large user base, and then work out the monetization later. That's a bit unfair, because if you just try to, if you don't even have a plan up front, that's not very good. But really, it's all about ultimately, I guess, reinventing television advertising. And in the US, television advertising is a $70 billion a year business. And it's monetized, it's sort of about a cent or half a cent per view, whereas Google sells ads at 50 cents per click. So a click and a view are different things, but there's fantastic potential. You know, when you advertise on TV today, the same ad goes out to everybody, even though some people will have seen the ad once and some people will have seen it 20 times. The ads are not clickable, they're not interactive, they're not targetable per person. And ZBox changes all of that. And so you'll be able, as a TV advertiser, to buy an ad on TV. Let's say the Honda ad goes on TV, and the television does a fantastic job of building brand and desire, but your smartphone gives you the personalized version that's clickable. Maybe, you know, I see the ad for the Audi, the black Audi RS4, and my wife sees, you know, for the pink TT. I know that's a terrible stereotype, but, you know, those are the things that are possible with second screen, where it knows a bit about you, you can click and so on. And so there's tremendous desire from advertisers for this new medium. Sometimes it will be perhaps things you expect, which is a synchronized ad. When there's an ad on TV, you see something similar in ZBox, but clickable and targeted and so on. But there can also be all sorts of new things, including product placement. So at the moment, the American Express is running, I think, a very visionary campaign where on certain shows in the US, you can buy products you see in the show. And if you buy with your Amex card, I think you get $35 off, and then you can tweet the purchase. So it combines knowledge of what's on TV in a show with social, with discount for the consumer. And I think that's a fantastically innovative way of tapping into, you know, what technology provides. And so I guess my goal is to provide the tech platform and the consumer proposition that let advertisers who know the space infinitely better than me try and, you know, work out what's going to work and what's not going to work and deliver it thanks to this tech platform.
I would think it would be phenomenal for advertisers. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's all right. I was just having a look at my preview guide here. It's interesting watching the audience meter at the side to see which shows are steady, which has interest that's failing or falling or plummeting even, and which ones are steady, so you can see what might be a more interesting show to most people. Also, do you have a... you said you were talking about the Android version. What about iPad and iPhone?
So ZBox is available on iPad, iPhone, Android smartphones, and there's a web version if you just want to use it on a laptop. And, of course, it works very nicely on the new 7-inch iPad, works very nicely on iPhone 5. We were one of the first companies to do deep iOS 6 integration with Facebook and Twitter and native login, and also with iTunes Store integration, which means when you watch something, a show, ZBox will find you movies and downloads and songs. Or if somebody mentions Gwyneth Paltrow on TV, within a few seconds, ZBox will find apps, ebooks, downloads, and so on for Gwyneth Paltrow. And if they're from iTunes, you can download them free or paid without even leaving ZBox. It's one click and you just download it, which is thanks to new iOS 6 store kit functionality in iTunes, which I think is a pretty cool experience.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. So, Anthony, you're here in Australia for Channel 10?
Yep, we launched in Australia about 7 days ago. Yep. I'm an Aussie at heart. I've lived in Sydney for 20 years, London for the last 5 years, so back in town for a couple of weeks. In theory, it was holiday, but as a practical matter, I'm spending a lot of time talking to our partners here, which is great, and enjoying the sunshine.
Cool, lads. Now, what's the plan for Channel 10? You're going to be adding some more channels. People have been asking me about Foxtel. They can't access Foxtel on there yet.
Right. So, again, there are only so many hours in the day. So we started with the free-to-air channels. And when you're on Freeview or on Foxtel, you get those free-to-air channels. Foxtel have got lots of additional channels. But actually accessing the metadata is a difficult problem. In the UK and in the US in particular, there's quite robust TV metadata listings. You can get the images, you can get the descriptions, and so on. In Australia, it's not quite as well developed, and so there's a serious amount of work you have to do to support each new channel. And so over the coming weeks and months, we're going to be adding more channels. So this is, I think, a great start. But it's the beginning of the journey, not the end of the journey.
Definitely. And also I want to see Channel 31 on there, Melbourne on there. See 31 Melbourne.
Right. So it's exactly it. You see, you got straight to the source there. But actually what we do is we again look at consumer feedback and we see what channels people are asking for. So the key ones right now are SBS2 and ABC3 and TDT in Tasmania. We need to add those. We'll add this one.
Yes.
And our guys are onto it. And in a few days' time, we'll add those channels.
Sweet. And also TVN2, that needs to be added too.
Okay, cool. I'll write that down. Thanks.
And Steve, any questions?
Yeah, I just want to mention to Jody, the National Dog Show seems to have a lot of viewers on right now. I'm actually on the ZBox right now, but I figure I'd add that in there.
National Dog Show is on one of the NBC channels, and NBC is our partner in the US, and I believe there are call-outs on TV, which is fantastic. And so if you're watching it, it says actually there's a little ZBox logo, an orange logo on TV, and it says dogs are man's best friend. ZBox is TV's best friend, which I thought was pretty cool.
Cool. Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Good stuff.
I did have a question on the on the ZBox. Now, it seems this is geared toward live television as you're watching it, like social networking. But, of course, now we're getting other types of media coming in, like through the internet. It could be like Netflix on the television, could be Hulu Plus. Do you see perhaps in the future where you would have to eventually go into that market. And since maybe TV people are going to watch less cable television and more into other things, would that be possible? Or
yeah, and that's a great question. And I think, you know, ironically, the same folks who've got iPads and iPhones are often people who watch less live television and more PVR content and VOD and so on. And so we got started with live TV for a few reasons. Number one, lots of people are doing it at the same time, so it's all about, you know, great social experience. Number two, everyone gets the same technology, essentially. You know, everyone can get the same channels broadly, and it doesn't require different equipment. Whereas if you're trying to link to Netflix, you know, the technology is different to linking to iPlayer or something else. So it becomes more challenging to support, you know, linking to VOD content as opposed to displaying something on your TV. But the good news is, we're working on adding what's called ACR, or automated content recognition, to ZBox. So it will listen to what's playing on your TV and automatically sync to it, whether it's live or not. And we've actually got a prototype working. It's pretty magical. And if you're watching, you know, your favorite show, but you've recorded it 3 days ago or a week ago, whatever, ZBox will just pick it up and bring you the synced experience. And when we launch with this early next year, not only will we replay the Z tags, but we'll even replay the tweets that were people made when it was first broadcast. Or if you, for example, on the west coast of the US or the west coast of Australia, you find that you know, Twitter is sometimes problematic because you get the spoilers from folks who watch it a few hours earlier on the east coast. And what ZBox will be able to do uniquely is to replay the tweets from the first broadcast, so you shouldn't get those spoilers. And we'll bring you a synced experience, whether you're watching live or on demand. So we totally get it, and we're working on it.
All right.
And I think you heard that here first. So.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, okay.
And now I have to ship it because I said it on the internet, right?
Is that just going to be for America, or is it going to be for Australia and other places as well, or is that just for America?
We're going to start with the US, and then we'll roll it out depending on take-up and you know, any things we need to do to tweak the proposition. But we'll road test it in the US first and then launch it in other territories after
Sweet.
That.
Can't wait. Now, you worked at BBC iPlayer, is that correct?
Yep.
How long were you there for?
I was at the BBC for about 3 years, from sort of late 2007 to 2010.
Okay, good question. All right. Jason, any questions about that?
I wasn't expecting you to throw across to me.
Sorry.
I was just using the guide, and I see it's got a search function that only, though, shows me stuff that's currently on. Is there any way in the future to be able to search for what's on later this afternoon or tomorrow and keep an eye out for shows I'm looking for?
I think you must not have our latest version. The latest version that's out has got a fantastic 7-day guide search.
This is the website.
Oh, on the website, sorry. We haven't added that to the website yet.
Oh, okay.
But if you use our app version, it's got a seriously cool 7-day search. You can search for a program name, you can search for a channel name, or even a channel number, and we'll find programs like that. It will find all shows that are on in the next 7 days. So that's coming soon to the website version as well.
Cool.
All right.
And did you pick ZBox because it's better than Xbox?
I guess the joke is finding a domain name when you're a startup is seriously difficult. You know, they're either enormously expensive and not available and so on. And then also you can get completely stuck and stop doing everything while you search for a domain name. So maybe the joke is, you know, we started with A and we ended up at Z and stopped there. So,
well, you don't want to be just A box. You want to be
Z-box.
This is Z box that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You say it so well. Yeah.
All right. Steve, any more questions for Anthony or Jody? Anyone else in the chat room got questions for Anthony? I think Jacob's got a question.
There's actually somebody in the chat room that said, how does ZBox access metadata? Or he said, or is that proprietary knowledge? I think he said that.
Okay, so that, I mean, we can get slightly techy, but let me give it a go. So there are multiple sources of metadata. The first one are the program listings, and we typically license that from Tribune in the US or Press Association in the UK, and those are the TV listings provided by the broadcasters and the images and so on. So we license those. then the next thing we do to do those Z tags, those are derived from television. And so we ingest live TV, we stick up aerials and we pull in the video signal, and then we extract the closed captions or the subtitles in real time. We run them through a natural language processing system, and then we've got a big lookup engine that, as something's mentioned on TV, our server will work out it's a person, a place, a country, whatever it might be, and then run searches on Wikipedia, on iTunes, on Bing, on Google News, IMDb, and so on, to find more information, and then it instantly builds a topic page within about 3 or 4 seconds for that word or phrase. And the server's built over 500,000 of those so far. So there are actually multiple sources of metadata. And then our own editorial team use tools that we've created to hop in and put in, you know, the optimized Twitter hashtags, and some programs have got cool backgrounds. And we provide these tools to broadcasters. So for some of the more popular shows, they can run votes and polls, they can run interaction and so on. So there are a lot of programs on TV. Our goal is to, in a fully automated way, with no human involvement, provide a sort of baseline for all of those shows with real-time engagement. But then for selected shows, typically the most popular ones or the one with the most sort of buzziest audience and so on, we or our broadcaster partners already go to town on enhancing it. And to give you an example, in the UK, we do a show called The App Factor. So while X Factor's on TV, we bring you live streaming video in ZBox. So you run, you know, load up your iPad or iPhone or whatever, and there's actually video playing in ZBox. What we've done is we've hired a comedian. He jokes that our budget is £16 million. It's actually about £16. We've taken one of the meeting rooms in our office, and on Friday afternoon, it has an extreme makeover and gets turned into our production studio. And then Jake, our comedian, comes in on Saturday night, and the wife of our user experience designer has made dolls for each of the contestants in the show, and we start by blending in a blender the doll from the person who was evicted or fired last week, and it goes from there. And the idea is the video of Jake streams in ZBox while you're watching, but we mute the sound except during the ad breaks, and then the sound turns on. And it's actually a seriously cool second screen experience. Nice. So it's these kind of things you can do, you know, which you're almost crossing over from being a tech company to a content company in a sense, that, you know, experimenting with these kind of things. I hope that answered the question in a very long way.
I hear a lot about people talking about second screens these days. Even the Xbox has now got apps that you can run on your iPhone or your Android device and interact with your machine, and also the upcoming Wii U, so it's certainly very important that you have something like this out for general TV.
Right, so broadcasters know that, you know, they need to engage with their audience, they need to engage with social and so on, and the challenge they have is, do they build their own apps for each program, or do they, you know, connect and partner with someone like ZBox, so that has a sort of broad umbrella, cross-platform, cross-channel app. And the problem, if the broadcaster makes their own app, it gets used for like an hour a week for that show. And then at the end of the 13 weeks season, you know, it never works again. And some of the big broadcasters have made over 200 apps. And this is called now the app graveyard. You know, you find the app still in iTunes and was last updated in like 2009. And, you know, it costs $100,000 to make an app. And so that's where we have an HTML5 plugin architecture. So instead of spending large amounts of money making an app and getting it to users and getting it through iTunes and, you know, supporting it, in ZBox we allow broadcasters to enhance their shows directly using our tools and just HTML5. And NBC, for example, has said that they're going to take 307 shows and enhance them within ZBox. And they can do that at very low cost with an editorial team. And then, you know, we provide, I guess, more and more sophisticated tools to let them do that, including shortly new forms of voting and polling, which will be fed back into the show and integrated back into the on-screen graphics and so on. So really trying hard to make television not just a one-way system that beams out at you in a sort of non-personalized, non-interactive way, but can it be a two-way thing where when you're watching the show, the audience is fed directly into the show again, And we're not there yet, but I'm, you know, very much looking forward to new types of content being made that tap into this two-way interaction.
And I expect the other bonus for the channels and networks is that if they have to have an app written, that's going to take, you know, several weeks, maybe months, whereas they can jump onto ZBox with this plugin with HTML5 and probably within a very short time of at least one day, they could have something up and going, and that's going to work much better for them as well.
That's exactly it. And, you know, whenever people talk about the BBC, they say, you know, what do the BBC think? Well, actually, the BBC is a number of different parties. You know, there's the future media team or the web team, and they're always backlogged, and they'd love to build it themselves, but they don't have the time or the budget. And then the folks who make the programs, and they've got like $5,000 left, and they've got a new season that goes out tomorrow, and they need to enhance, and then they know they have to engage with social media. And then there's a strategy team who's sort of thinking 5 years ahead and so on. And that's par for the course for all broadcasters. And I think what ZBox does is it says, hey, guys, you've got a show starting tomorrow. You can enhance it right now in the next 3 hours for sort of zero money. And that's, I think, one of the appealing features to broadcasters.
And I expect you would offer a consultation if they need help getting all that underway as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we'll go visit them. We've got a team in New York that works with Viacom and with NBC and with HBO to get their guys up and running, and here in Sydney with Channel 10 as well. So, and Ditto in the UK. So, absolutely.
I can imagine in the future a lot of networks having their own dedicated ZBox team just to keep it all up to date.
Well, in fact, they already have. So NBC, Viacom, Channel 10 already have dedicated teams for that. But I think what's even more exciting is, you know, in the coming months, we'll be opening up our developer APIs so that third parties can create plugins and people will be able to create, you know, crazy, clever, brilliant, terrible things. I have no idea, but the important thing is, actually, I don't need to know. I can provide a tech platform that lets people come up with crazy things, tap into our automated content recognition, our real-time, you know, context, and come up with things we could never dream of. And I think that, for me, is one of the most exciting things.
Well, I expect a lot of people will be able to create apps for, like, Big Brother. New one is coming out 2013. Get your Big Brother 2013 app here, and it just hooks into your system.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, Big Brother is ideal for these kind of things. It's almost like wallpaper that runs in the background. But why does it have to be wallpaper? Why can't you be sort of part of that Big Brother? Maybe the future Big Brother won't just be them televised going to you. It'll be two-way, where they in the house are getting feedback from all the people watching. But, you know, I'm the tech guy, not the content guy. It's not for me to say what's good or bad proposition. But importantly, if I can help provide the technology that lets the folks who know that audience do cool things they wouldn't have been able to do before, then I'm excited.
Sounds cool.
Sounds good. Well, now, go on, Steve. Sorry, go on.
Oh, what kind of audience do you have? Because I noticed I'm at the National Dog Show on ZBox right now. It's showing a steady of 100 people logged in ZBox for that channel. So how wide is the viewership? How many apps was downloaded and viewed?
So that 100 means 100%, and I guess that's something we have to improve. So that's the normalized audience rating. So it means that dog show, probably thanks to the on-air calls to action to watch with ZBox and so on, has the highest audience share right now. And so the number is actually a percent of audience share, where the top one is normalized to 100. But I think it confuses people. In terms of usage, we've had many millions of downloads. It's going phenomenally well. Unfortunately, with our broadcaster partners, we can't announce numbers without going with their sign-off and so on. So I can't talk about exact numbers. But I can say it's phenomenally. I think in Australia, it was number one in iTunes. I'm not sure if it's number one right now. But it's been going really, really well.
Good stuff. And Anthony, what sort of shows do you watch on your TV when you're at home or in Australia?
I think mostly a BBC kind of guy. Right now I'm really enjoying Hunted, which I see just starts in Australia. Mm-hmm. with Melissa George starring. It's quite scary. It's kind of like a spook thing. So that's my current hot favorite. Yep. I hear that it's not. It may not be renewed the season. And actually, we were talking just before the show about how one of the uses I've seen in a survey, particularly in the US, is for second screen apps to be used to campaign the broadcaster to make another series and not cancel the show. And I'm wondering, hey, I really like the show. Maybe I can use ZBox to kind of campaign for the BBC, and I think it's HBO, to do another season of the show.
Cool, cool. Have you seen the show Sons of Anarchy?
No.
I never heard of it. It's a good show. Sons of Anarchy, good show.
Cool.
It's funny you were mentioning Melissa George after her tantrum recently about her people asking her about her time in Home and Away, and she doesn't want to talk about it anymore and really emotional.
That. Yeah, I've seen that. That's quite interesting. Have you seen Neighbours, Anthony?
Of course. I did live here for a while. How can you possibly escape it?
I love Neighbours.
It's even in the UK. So.
Yeah, I love Neighbours. Good show. Steve, any questions for Anthony before we go?
Oh, I think that was it.
That's it. Jody, what do you want to say before we go?
Yeah, just one quick question. Anthony, listening to the way that you're monitoring, I guess, kind of the stream of the conversation, people are able to interact, the way that Nielsen does ratings currently, my understanding is it's somewhat something of a diary, and it sounds a little bit similar to what you're doing. Do you see yourself as being competitive to Nielsen in terms of providing feedback to the broadcast stations and also the advertisers? It sounds like you're like a level above what they are offering.
Right, so it's a great question. So what Nielsen and in the UK, Barb and so on do is they have a small panel, sort of maybe 5,000 people. Initially it used to be a diary, but now it's sort of electronic, so the system plugs into your TV and sees what you're actually watching and so on. And then those small panel gets upread to say, you know, what the audience was. So when it says, you know, 27 million people watched the Macy's Day Parade or whatever it might be, then actually it's not really counting 27 million people, it's 5,000 people, you know, 3,500 watched, and they multiply up the figures. But obviously, that's not really the future, taking a tiny panel and multiplying it out. What the future is really looking at all the people interactively. And so ZBox, what it does is every 60 seconds, our servers know what everyone's watching, and it knows that because, you know, when you're logged in, it's sort of checking in a sense, so that you can see what your friends are watching, and it can calculate the audience that feeds back into the app and can use it for recommendations and things like that. So I guess there's a potential to want to compete with Nielsen. We have no particular desire to do that. You know, I think what's interesting is that everyone thinks that these panel surveys are the past and not the future. On the other hand, the entire TV industry needs a metric and runs on it. The way adverts are priced on TV is based on, you know, the ratings for the show. So it's a system that almost nobody likes, but nobody is really ready to change it. So we don't have a particular desire to want to change it. We just carry on in our own little way, building our own system that's useful for us to create a great consumer product, so it can look at what people are watching right now and feed that back into the app, so that you can see what everyone's watching, and if there's an ad break and everyone flees that program, or if the latest act on the X Factor sucks and you all move to another one, you can see it. Or maybe you know, the car chase is breaking on another channel and you suddenly get an alert. So that's what I love to use these sort of analytics for, as well as influencing product design.
Yep.
And one day when the audience grows large enough, yeah, maybe people will start using that, or companies like Clout and Trender and Mass Relevance and Bluefin Labs. A lot of people are getting into the space with social metrics. I don't think the industry is about to change yet, but people begin to make decisions based on those in addition or instead of Nielsen, for example.
Well, I won't be using GetClue anymore. I'll be using ZBox from now on.
That's great. And if you could tweet that would be brilliant.
I will be. Don't worry about that. and I won't be using the Jumpin app. That's just a piece of rubbish.
If you could tweet that as well, that'd be even better.
I will. Okay. And
although a lot of people have, to be fair. So
also,
that's great.
Tango. Tango is no good either. Tango from Channel 7, that's no good. That app's cool. No good either. Jason, what do you think of ZBox so far? You've seen the app on your phone, mate, and what do you think of it?
I haven't got it on my phone yet. I'm going to wait until I get my iPad Mini delivered, and I'm definitely going to install it because it looks like the best out of any of those interaction apps that I've ever seen.
Oh, definitely. I agree, mate. I have it on my
iPad.
Up.
As you said, I gave up on all of those other apps. I joined them and went, what's the point, and got rid of them, but this one looks much more interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. On the iPad, mate, it looks fantastic. So, yeah, did you get your antenna fixed up, Jason, for Freeview, mate?
No, not yet. I'll work on something with that.
Okay, cool, because you need to have the TV going as well where you have the up brain.
Yep.
Would be good.
Get the iPhone, iPad, Android app. I mean, that's really the way to go because obviously the form factor sitting in front of your TV. And then in the coming weeks, perhaps, you'll start seeing it working as a remote control for your smart TV, which I think would be seriously cool, and maybe for set-top boxes in the not-too-distant future as well.
Foxtel controller, Brad?
I don't have Foxtel. I have a TiVo for Freeview.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe in Foxtel anymore.
Be interesting for TiVo then if they supported that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Do you reckon that will happen, Anthony, for TiVo?
We support TiVo remote control in the UK, so we need to do a bit of testing with it in Australia and see that the channel numbers line up and all that sort of thing.
But, they probably won't be able to here because we've got the really old boxes from Series 3.
Oh, yeah, Series
3. Doesn't support Wi-Fi controls or Bluetooth or anything like that, so we won't be getting any of the newer boxes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a challenge, and the problem when you start doing remote control and so on, and that's one of the reasons why we started off focusing on live TVs, because as soon as you start getting into remote and PVR and so on, all of these boxes are different technologies, and it becomes a lot of work to support.
Yeah.
Our TiVos, I think, are RF only, so or infrared, that just wouldn't work.
Oh, well, I was actually using a TiVo remote on my iPhone a while back called Peanut, and that actually worked fine.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it works right. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So
if Peanut works, then ZBox remote should work as well. In the UK, we haven't enabled in the Aussie version. We want to do a bit of testing first to make sure the channel numbers line up and so on. But hopefully, we'll get that out pretty soon.
Well, if you want me to do any testing for you, Andy, let me know, mate. Like I can do it for you if you want to.
Yeah, I've got a TiVo as well. Yeah. I'd be happy to help out. I'm a bit of a developer too, so I understand the technical parts.
Yeah,
We've got a winner. I'll email you our hot off the press new Android APK with this functionality that I haven't used yet. There so you get it soon.
There you go, Jason. You've got a job, mate. all right, Steve, any more questions before we go?
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Jody, any more things you want to mention?
No, we're good. Thank you so much, Anthony. Fascinating, and I wish the best to you. I think it's a really neat application with a lot of potential for the future.
Thank you.
And
This is a hugely enjoyable podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Please spread it too, Anthony, about TechWebcast TV again.
Coming on.
And where can I get you on Twitter and stuff before we go?
It's at Anthony Rose.
At Anthony Rose, all right. Too easy. and also on ZBox AU, you can get him as well. Jason, where can I get you, mate?
On Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK.
And me, Brad, I was on Tech Webcast. Steve?
You can find me on Chatterbox _ live on Twitter, and of course on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude.
All right, Jody?
You can find me on Twitter as SunSwept, and you can find me everywhere else as WebMarcom. My URL is webmarcom.net.
All right, Steve, you want to say anything funny before we go, or is that it? You lost the game. Yeah, Steve lost the game. And can I just mention, Jacob Jones actually made his mum's car battery go flat while he was waiting in the car.
What?
I found that quite funny.
Oh, my Lord.
And he had an iPod Touch plugged into the car and he flattened the battery.
Wow.
His mum went off his head, off her head.
I bet.
Yeah. Anyway, Jacob,
he must have been left out there for a while.
Yeah. He did. And anyway, Jacob, you lost the game on that one, mate. Steve, you too, mate. Catch ya. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks,
you're a legend, mate. Enjoy ZBox. I'm gonna get it. I've already got it. So, yeah.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Techheads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Techheads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!